The Mount Washington Auto Road welcomes you to the heart of the White Mountains, where you're about to embark on an adventure to the highest peak in the Northeast. This is the birthplace of legends, and you'll be following a path that leads through time and winds its way through woods and weather extremes. At the summit lies the Mount Washington State Park, where you'll see the home of the Mount Washington Observatory and the historic Summit Stage Office, the building where a world record wind speed was recorded in 1934. More about that later. This audio tour will be your information and entertainment guide as you travel on the oldest man-made attraction in the United States. Your driving time to the top will be approximately 25 minutes, and this tour will be your guide to the remarkable views and amazing things that have happened here since the road opened to the public in 1861. Now, before we get to all the storytelling on how this legendary road came to be and some of the extraordinary things folks have done on it, we have some pretty important information to pass along. Among the many wonders of Mount Washington, you'll be entering the fragile alpine zone, home to numerous rare and unique forms of plants and flowers. There will be many opportunities to stop your car and walk around, so please take care to leave these special environments as you found them. It's only because others have been thoughtful in past generations that these small endangered treasures are still here for us to enjoy. If you watch your step, literally, future generations will have the same opportunity. Please only walk on the gravel trails and not on any vegetation. It's only through our continued stewardship that we can protect and preserve these treasured resources. Just imagine that this road opened to the public in 1861, and the scenes which are about to unfold before you have remained unchanged since then. Also unchanged is the need for safe driving. The road's remarkable safety record over the past century and a half is because drivers, whether in horse-drawn vehicles of the old days or the motor vehicles of this century, respect the basic rules of safety, which apply both to the trip up and down Mount Washington. As you ascend the mountain and then descend after your visit to the summit, these driving tips will help maximize safety and minimize inconvenience. Please keep the following in mind as your journey continues. The Mount Washington Auto Road has two-way traffic coming and going at all times, and cars coming down should yield the right-of-way to cars going up. Keep to your side of the road. And don't worry, it's wide enough for two cars to pass anywhere along the road. We urge you to drive up in the normal gear you would use on the highway, usually drive, or D, which will allow your transmission to normally shift as it needs to according to the grade of the road. Shift to a lower gear if your engine seems to be sluggish. Also refer to the driving suggestions you were given at the toll house. On the way back down the mountain, be sure to use the lowest gear available in order for your transmission to help brake the car and help avoid overheating your brakes. If ever there was a road that was designed for low gear, this is it. Also, avoid using your air conditioner, as this may cause the engine to overwork. There will be plenty of cool mountain air to refresh you as you continue to gain elevation. If your vehicle does begin to run hot, turn on the heater. It may sound strange, but this will actually help cool the engine. Should you find yourself driving in the fog at any time while on the mountain, turn on your headlights for the sake of all oncoming traffic. And please remember, it's a New Hampshire state law that all persons under 18 years of age must wear a seatbelt. Mark Twain once said, "If you don't like the weather in New England, just wait a minute." Well, he must have been thinking of Mount Washington when he made this famous statement, because things can change quickly and dramatically around here. Depending on the road and weather conditions, you should maintain a speed of approximately 15 to 20 miles per hour. However, your actual speed will depend on the current traffic flow and the prevailing weather. If it seems like you're holding up cars behind you, please be considerate of others and stop at one of the many pull-off areas to allow them to pass. If for any reason you need assistance while on the road, flag down one of our white and green road crew pickup trucks or guided tour vans. Our drivers will be happy to help you in any way. Now, let's get to some storytelling about this amazing place. The creation of our Road to the Sky all began back in 1853. When the New Hampshire legislature granted a charter to General David O. Maycomber to build an 8-mile road to the summit. It was a challenging task he set for himself, to say the least, but he had a vision of how tourism would affect the area in the years to come. The White Mountains were beginning to gain a reputation as a vacation destination, with grand hotels being built to cater to wealthy travelers during the summer season. His path to the summit of Mount Washington would surely be the high point of any visit to the North Country. In fact, your presence here today confirms just how right he was. One of the first grand hotels was the iconic Glen House, which was located at the base area from which you began your climb. This hotel, along with three others which shared its name, all burned to the ground between 1884 and 1967. For many decades to follow, there was no lodging on the property. But after many years of planning, the latest Glen House opened for business in 2018. Like its predecessors, the new hotel caters to travelers looking for the ultimate White Mountain experience. Unlike the previous structures, however, the new Glen House represents the pinnacle of green building practices and eco-friendly accommodations. Feel free to stop in for a tour or a great meal when you get back to the base area. As you drive upward through the hardwood forest, try to imagine what the early road builders faced. Dense trees and underbrush, steep ridges, and immense boulders and ledges opposed the construction at every turn. This isn't a particularly inviting place to excavate a roadway, but no adversity would be too great if it resulted in the conquest of this famed peak. One young woman who visited the Glen House in 1854, Mary Langdon, explored the work in progress and wrote an article for Harper's Weekly magazine. In it, she recounted her memories of the road during its construction.
"We have all been walking in the lowering twilight on the road which is making its way up Mount Washington. Though nothing is impossible to modern science, it would seem impossible to vanquish the obstacles to the enterprise, the inevitable steepness of the ascent, the rocky precipices. We passed on through debris of blasted rocks, stumps of uprooted trees, and heaps of stones until we got far enough into the mountain to feel its stern solitude."
And when that was written in 1854, they were still 7 years from completion. Unfortunately for General Maycomber, his financial backing ran out about halfway up the mountain. So, it ended up taking two companies years of backbreaking hand labor, blasting, logging, clearing, and grading to complete the task. During a two-year delay after the first company failed, it was questionable as to whether or not the project would ever be completed. But the lure of Mount Washington was too great to keep this road from reaching the top. It was particularly difficult to make any progress when natural obstacles such as the weather combined with the primitive technology of the era to slow things down. Since dynamite had not yet been invented, all the blasting was done with black powder, a dangerous and at times unstable explosive. In order to split the massive rock ledges which blocked the way, individual holes were hand-drilled into solid rock and then filled with black powder, blown up or split apart one at a time. All the logging was done with axes, saws, and elbow grease. Teams of oxen and workhorses drew carts filled with gravel. All in all, it was a dirty, dangerous job, largely accomplished by immigrant labor working in a place not yet fit for man or beast. But finally, on August 8, 1861, the construction was done. And done right. Many decades later, in a study completed with aerial surveys and the latest technology, the Army Corps of Engineers could find no improvement to the route as laid out in the middle of the last century. Today, this toll road is still privately owned and operated by the Mount Washington Summit Road Company, and with very little change in ownership, has remained a family business since 1906. As you continue your ascent, glimpses of pristine mountain vistas begin to reveal themselves. But it wasn't always that way. In fact, around the turn of the century, logging barons had virtually clear-cut much of what is now the White Mountain National Forest. The decimation of these native forests created not only fire and erosion dangers, but created such an unsightly mess that the cause of conservation was taken up by politicians, downstream mill owners, and average citizens alike. As a result, the Weeks Act of 1911 established the White Mountain National Forest, among many others. These mountains remain protected today and stand as a reminder of the natural beauty of the wilderness. It's ironic, though, that it took the near destruction of everything that you see around you to motivate the effort to save it. Thankfully, what you see today is remarkably similar to what the first adventure seekers found in 1861. It was called the Mount Washington Carriage Road in those days, and there were as many as 25 mountain wagons and 120 horses in service each day of the season. These mountain wagons were specially designed and constructed for the carriage road by the Abbott Downing Company in Concord, New Hampshire. This company manufactured the famous Concord stagecoaches, which, aside from being shipped worldwide for use in commerce and transportation, were used in practically every Western movie ever made. The carriage road mountain wagons were pulled by six horses and seated as many as 12 passengers. A typical trip took about 4 hours up, and though no one was in a rush in those days, passengers were at times asked to assist with one task. On windy days, those making the journey were asked to get out and collect rocks to add weight to the wagon so it wouldn't tip over in the strong winds above treeline. Though it is unmarked today, the halfway point along the road used to be a stopover for guests and horses in the old days. Here, the halfway house offered shelter and refreshments before the last long pull to the top. The ride down took 2 hours and was another adventure in itself. The steep grade and heavy loads meant that the stages wore through a set of leather brakes on every trip as the horses, driver, and wagon fought gravity the whole way down. Also, the carriage road stages weren't alone on the road by any means. Individual hotels had their own coaches for their guests, while other folks drove the family buckboard or surrey, or rode on horseback. Then, as now, it was an active road that required the driver's full attention. As the word continued to spread, more and more people found their way to New Hampshire's North Country. New railroads continued to push their way past the lakes and into the hills, and while still a rural setting, the world had finally beaten a path to Mount Washington's doorstep. As you gain elevation, you'll begin to notice startling changes in the vegetation. Nearer to the bottom of the auto road is a typical northeastern hardwood forest, composed of maple, oak, birch, and beech trees. Further on, you'll see fewer hardwoods and more evergreens, such as balsam fir and spruce. More significantly, these trees are diminishing greatly in size, as the combination of wind, cold, and scarcity of proper soil create a difficult growing environment. Continuing upward, you are entering the Krumholtz, or the Crooked Wood Zone. In some cases, these stunted and beautifully twisted and gnarled trees, with a height of only 2 or 3 feet, are more than 100 years old. These unique trees have adapted to survive in this often inhospitable location, as have a wide variety of wildlife that calls this mountain range home. Moose, black bear, and deer are among the larger species to be found near the bottom, while bobcat, beaver, porcupines, raccoons, foxes, coyotes, and countless types of birds can be found on Mount Washington's slopes. Even on the summit, mice, moles, shrews, and voles have adapted to life in this extreme environment. As your journey takes you further up the mountainside, you'll notice it has begun to get a bit cooler, and that the trees continue to get smaller. As the road goes on to its height of more than a mile in the sky, 6,288 feet to be exact, the climate changes with it, eventually reaching the equivalent temperature one might find 600 miles north of here in the Arctic tundra region. Just think about it. In the distance of just the first few miles upward, you've now traveled from the more familiar hardwood forest of our region, through the Krumholtz, to an area more like that in northern Labrador or Alaska. Here in the alpine zone of the Presidential Range, you'll find a stunning array of rare plant species, including alpine flowers, lichens, and mosses. In fact, plants like the dwarf cinquefoil live only in the White Mountains and nowhere else on the planet, and are listed as federally protected species. Many of these unusual plants, though small, are very old, with some varieties not flowering until they are 20 or more years old. Many experts believe that the mountain landscape you're viewing is more than 10,000 years in the making. So again, we ask that when leaving your vehicle to explore the mountainside, to please be aware that the endless vistas are only one of the most obvious wonders here. There is also an amazing world right at your feet, which if not cared for, could be lost forever. Never pick or step on any flowers. And when out of your vehicle above treeline, please step only on defined pathways. With your help, our fragile ecosystem will be something to marvel at for centuries to come. Scientific interest in Mount Washington has been ongoing for more than 200 years. In the last century, just the novelty of being here was enough to inspire whole books. One famous writer of the mid-1800s, Reverend Thomas Starr King, had this to say about the mountain's various climates.
I send you a greeting this morning from the cupola of New Hampshire. If perchance you are suffering from the heat when this missive reaches you, let your eyes cool themselves by reading that just outside the tip-top house, the mercury is at 34 degrees. The ride from the glen was very easy. We rose indeed by climate as well as ridges. It was July at the base, late September on the ledge, and November at the apex.
The tip-top house he refers to was built in 1853. You'll see it in just a bit. It's the only original Summit building that survived the Great Fire of 1908. The Summit today has evolved greatly from how it all began so long ago, but it's always been a hub of activity for travelers to the White Mountains. The Summit community in the 1890s was a very busy place. It featured a large hotel, stage office, railroad station, and even its own newspaper called Among the Clouds, the first and only newspaper ever to be published on a mountaintop. All visitors to the peak had their names published in its pages, along with local news and gossip. The daily editions used to make their way down the mountain along the Cog Railway track on a contraption known as a slide board, or more popularly called the Devil's Shingle. Real history was made again in 1899 when a little-known inventor named Freeland O. Stanley drove his locomobile up the road. He did it for publicity, hoping to build a name for his fledgling company that he had just sold. Stanley began his expedition from Newton, Massachusetts, with the goal of finishing on the top of Mount Washington. The automotive age was dawning, and on August 31, 1899, an unlikely little vehicle, looking like a horse-drawn buggy without the horse, became the first motor car to climb the mountain. As noted in Flora Stanley's account of the adventure, their journey received more laughter than laurels, as motor vehicles were still a virtually unknown sight to the general public. The amazed responses of the villagers along the way, combined with the success of the Mount Washington ascent, proved the value of this well-conceived publicity stunt. But few realized that Stanley's vehicle was the first of many that would follow, and that a new age of transportation had begun. Even F.E. Stanley himself, F.O. Stanley's twin brother and partner, wasn't sure of what the new invention would be capable of. As expressed in an 1897 letter to his wife, after one of their horseless carriages nearly caused an accident in town, he stated,
"I wrote you some time ago about motor carriages. Well, I'm building one. I'm making all the plans, and it will be 4 inches wider and 5 inches longer than our best buggy was. It will cost me about $500. It will not be afraid of a steamroller and will have no bad habits. It will stand without hitching, and perhaps that is all it will do."
Well, as history has shown us, it did much more than simply stand still, as did the Stanley brothers, who went on to create the still-famous Stanley Steamer, among many other inventions. You will soon be approaching the summit. If it's a clear day, you're enjoying some of the most magnificent views to be found anywhere in the United States. If it's not a clear day, then you are truly learning what it means to be among the clouds. In either case, the summit community welcomes you. While you're here, visit the historic Tip Top House, which holds the record as the oldest summit building, standing since 1853. The Sherman Adams State Park building will offer you a top-of-the-world perspective from the observation deck, with hot meals and restrooms inside. Downstairs, explore the observatory's interactive Extreme Mount Washington Museum for a look at what life is like at the summit in winter, as well as some rare mementos of the past. And be sure to visit the historic Summit Stage Office and Gift Shop, which is where the observers huddled together while measuring a world record wind speed in 1934, an unbelievable 231 miles per hour. You won't have any trouble recognizing which building it is. It's the one that's chained to the ground. If your headlights are on, be sure to turn them off before exploring the summit. You should be coming to the parking area pretty soon, so save the rest of this tour for when you begin the trip back down. Enjoy your adventure at the top of New England.